United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show. Final hour of the program's the start of the Brownlicker Music Hour. Little Jermaine Jackson, did that song die? Did he die or?
Oh, it's there.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't want it to drown you okay. out.
Listen, you ain't gonna drown me out. As loud as my voice is, yeah, you ain't gonna drown me out. So, Chuck always gets first request. Little Jermaine Jackson getting us going here in the. This was from about the mid '80s, I believe.
Yeah.
84, 85.
It's like his best song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had some. I mean, he actually had some hits. Let's Get Serious.
Well,
was a big hit. I think it's Love, Baby.
I don't remember that one.
No, I think it's Love, Darling.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember this one and Let's Get Serious.
Songs. Yeah.
Those were the two.
Yeah, but he had a couple big hits. So, anyway. All right. 404-726-0929. I'm kind of laughing about this whole Pac-12, Big 12 type of thing. The Pac-12 released a statement a little bit ago. So, if you don't know, Colorado is leaving the Pac-12. And it was 20 years ago that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 talked about merging as far as conferences go. And so the Pac-12 has released a statement. The Pac-12 is comprised of world-leading universities and athletic programs who share a commitment to developing the next generation of leaders, supporting student-athletes' academic and athletic excellence, and broad-based athletic success. We remain committed to our shared values and continue to invest in our student athletes. Today's decision by the University of Colorado has done nothing to disrupt that commitment. We are focused on concluding our media rights deal and securing our continued success and growth. Immediately following the conclusion of our media rights deal, we will embrace expansion opportunities and bring new fans and markets of excitement to the Pac-12. Well, where exactly are they going to go? I mean, you've lost Southern Cal, UCLA, you've lost Colorado now, and you may lose Washington or Oregon.
In Oregon.
If you lose those two programs, you're a group of five conference at that point.
Yeah, which I think, honestly, Oregon and Washington leaving, I think, is going to be more than likely because of the fact that from a recruiting standpoint, like those two schools, especially Oregon, Oregon's kind of been in the talks, right, for the last, I guess you could say, 5 years or so. In Washington, they've been up and down, but they've been back up of late.
Right.
So when it comes to the recruiting side of things, those two schools, they're not going to want to be in a conference where, let's just keep it honest, you know, everybody else is levels below you, you know, because now from a recruiting standpoint, that's going to have an impact. Those kids that you may have drawn, now they may start, you know, you start losing them, you know. So
well, I think, too, the other thing about it is that, in all honesty, you don't want UCLA and USC to be out on an island by themselves.
Right.
Okay, from a travel perspective.
Right,
from a
exactly.
conference perspective. Yep. So I think to provide some balance in a conference, you want to have Oregon and Washington be a part of, you know, the Big Ten, because you're almost isolating those two California schools by themselves. And mm-hmm. and that's, we saw that, and I talked about this a while back. USC is going to travel like 13,000 miles for football.
Right.
Now, that doesn't even count water polo and basketball softball and wrestling and whatever. I mean, it's like 13,000 miles for football. So I think that from a from an isolation standpoint, you want Washington and Oregon in the Big Ten. Like they're high profile programs, but you want them in the Big Ten to be able to provide some continuity to the conference. But obviously, you know, this is another big hit for the Pac-12. It's a big blow for them, and they continue to take big blows, and they're going to try to negotiate a media rights deal. I don't know what it's going to be, but they're moving toward Group of Five status if they're not careful here. If they lose Oregon and Washington, you're in Group of Five status. Those programs are not worthy of being a playoff team for, you know, because they win the, you know, their conference or whatever like that. It's, you know, again, you're going to the bottom now with everything. So we'll see what happens, but it is interesting. Now, let me ask another question here. Mike Conti and I were talking about this, you know, earlier. You know, obviously we saw last night, or Tuesday night, and Lanny and I just got their butt whooped, okay? Now, Messi's going to do that to some other teams, okay? He's mm-hmm. going to do it to some other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the impact of having a Messi in MLS, but is there a downside to it? Is there a flip side to it? If Messi comes in and starts making teams look like they're amateurs, is that good for MLS? I mean, let me put it like this. Atlanta United is one of the premier organizations in MLS, mm-hmm. right? They're one of the flagship organizations, okay? He made Atlanta United look like a second-tier type of team.
Right.
And if he does that to several teams in MLS, what does that do for the reputation of the league?
Ooh, I mean, you got a point. I think it can kind of work. It can work against and for. So the for would be in the sense of, let's take a team like Chicago, who's, they got a decent fan base, I believe, but no, I think Atlanta's got by far is like right. number one when right. it comes to fan base. Question. Right?
Yeah, I mean they're the highest attendance per game.
Right.
Overall, I mean they're the highest attendance across the league.
Right. So the four could be in the sense that maybe he boosts attendance in some of those, you know, with some of those teams that don't have.
Okay, but how? Okay, it's not like though that let's say. Let's say Salt Lake City.
Right.
Okay. It isn't like Salt Lake City. I don't know what Salt Lake City's attendance is. Okay.
Right.
But let's say it's 20,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not like he's going to take attendance in Salt Lake City from 20,000 to 100,000.
Right.
Okay. And he's going to play what? Twice?
At the most, yeah.
Once or twice? Again, he'll only play in Salt Lake City once every how many years?
Right.
So what is the real economic impact?
Right.
I mean, again, it's not Taylor Swift coming into your city.
Yeah,
okay?
Definitely not.
I mean, it's not Taylor Swift coming in and creating 300 jobs in a marketplace and bringing in millions of dollars of revenue. Like, it's not that.
Right.
It's just a soccer player. And I understand your point, but I don't know what the reality is of that.
Right.
You know, again, this is what I talked about, the Atlanta United. If you're Atlanta United, why would I accommodate Messi?
Right.
Why would I go in and change everything up that I do that's been successfully working for me?
Right.
We're the highest attendance per match. We're the highest attendance overall. Now, so if I'm number one already, how much more number one can I be?
Right.
If I'm number one in what I do, in my business model, how much is Messi going to boost my business? If I'm already number one, I can't be can't be anything higher than number one, right? So that's why I say that's why you don't accommodate him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more than just the more than just the playing advantage. That's why you don't accommodate him.
Exactly.
You don't make it look like you're a low tier type of franchise. You don't make it look like you're a desperate. Now again, I can understand. And I was talking about this with Mike is that if you're averaging 6,000 or 7,000 fans, it might be worth it to put in grass and figure out something to bring Messi in and make it accommodating for him, okay?
Right.
And especially if you play him maybe a couple of times in a season or something like that, okay?
Right.
If you're a struggling franchise. But if you're one of the good franchises, I don't know that I'm willing to accommodate him just for him.
Right.
You know? But again, so if you start changing up your stadiums and you start if he's dominating the way he dominated the other night, does it hurt MLS? I mean, I don't think MLS looks good if they start changing their turf to a specific player.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that for sure. I mean, I just think if you look, you're already coming in and the money you're getting is ridiculous. So to me, like, listen.
Well, they're looking at their MLS is also looking at their next national TV contract. Like that,
right.
That's the other thing about this is that, you know, their TV rights deal isn't very good. I mean, it's not very profitable.
No.
So they're looking at, okay, if we can increase eyeballs on TV, because that's where it's at. I mean, it's not personal attendance.
It's not
a Salt Lake City goes from 12,000 people to 120,000 people.
Right. It's the people that pick up that that decide to do the Apple TV,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
but it's getting a TV deal. It's getting TV money. That's where it's all at,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I don't care if it's football, basketball, wrestling.
Yep.
TV money is where you make your money.
Exactly.
And they want to be on TV, and they want to be on broadcast TV.
Right.
Right? They want to be on Fox and all that good kind of stuff. They want to be on that.
Yep.
That's lucrative money. So,
but I would think for that to happen, I think you need more than a Messi, though.
I agree, but you have to have a starting point with a Messi.
Well, yeah,
you have to have a starting point with a guy at that level and that caliber. And again, MLS has been around for 20 years.
Yeah,
so it's not like they're a young league or anything like that. They've
been
around for a couple of decades.
That long.
Yeah, I
mean,
it's been more than two decades. So it's not like they're a young league per se. But I don't disagree with you. But you have to have a guy like that come in and be a starting point.
Yeah.
You have to have a guy like that that's recognized, you know, world renowned player come in and not at 45 years old.
Right.
Again, I know he's older and I know he's an older player, but again, he's not an ancient player, right?
Right.
I mean, again, when Wayne Rooney came in, you know, he was, I don't want to say he was over the hill, but he wasn't exactly, you know, a youthful guy at that point, right? I mean, he was very limited in, you know, how much impact he could make on his team or what have you.
Right.
So, but he's not even nearly as name recognition wise as, you know, what Messi is.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting to see, though, because, you know, if you're a bad team, you can maybe afford to sell out and try to do whatever you have to do to bring him here and, you know, boost your number for that night.
Even
if it's just for that night. You know, I saw the MLS attendance number. I saw Atlanta being number one, but again, I don't know who's at the very, very bottom of MLS attendance. But
well, I know if I'm Atlanta, I'm not changing my.
No, no. As I said the other night, I mean, I'll do snow angels. I mean, I'll drink beer,
right.
Double middle finger, everybody, and do snow angels on the field, right? And that's that's me though. I'm an a-hole, and that's how I roll and I operate. So, all right, here's what we're gonna do: 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Gonna open up the phone lines to you, asking you the question: who leads his team in touchdowns? Who leads the Falcons in sacks? Very simple: who leads the Falcons in touchdowns? Who leads the Falcons in sacks? We'll take your calls on it next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Said
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at Chuck Reese Show. Head the top of the hour. Is it JR Sports Brief or is it Atlanta Soccer tonight?
JR Sports Brief.
Okay. Or is it Josh Hagedorn or Max Van Sydow or
no.
Homeward Bound or whatever the home take thing?
Hometown take.
Whatever that thing is. So anyway, something's coming up at the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief will be coming up. All right, 404-726-0929. Asking you the question, who's going to lead the Falcons in touchdowns? Who's going to lead the Falcons in sacks? So I'm going to go with the obvious answers as far as what it needs to be. Not just what I think, but what it needs to be. And I think touchdowns is Kyle Pitts, and I think sacks is Arnold Ebikadi. You know, we have to show that we can have that fire breather coming off the edge. I don't care what his number is, if it's 8, 10, 12, whatever. We have to have that kind of fire breather coming off the edge. And as far as touchdown goes, I mean, again, to have the kind of impact that we want our offense to, I think it's got to be Kyle Pitts. Now, again, we heard about, Bijan Robinson. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, again, and I don't care what Kyle Pitts' numbers are. I care about his impact on the football game. And usually for an offensive player, that's going to be scoring touchdowns. That's where you have the ultimate influence on a game, scoring touchdowns. So if he can be a guy, if he catches 40 passes for 500 yards and scores 10 touchdowns, won't mind a bit. Won't be upset at that for even a minute. So, again, 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Kevin out in Marietta. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson or Drake London in terms of touchdowns. And in terms of sacks, I'm predicting Calais Campbell's going to have a good year. And with him being next to Grady, he's going to get loose.
Yeah, and look, with Onyemata, with Grady, with Taquan Graham, we feel like that we have a good interior offensive line rotation of guys, right? And even Calais Campbell may rotate a little bit inside, but I think he'll probably play a lot of outside, but he may rotate a little bit on the inside. Again, remember positionless football? Remember Arthur Smith talked about positionless football? Well, that could be one of those things where Campbell plays all over the defensive line because he can play inside, outside, plays all over the defensive line, and maybe he does come up with a big season. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, as long as I feel like I have somebody that's coming off the edge and just pounding on quarterbacks, that's what's most important for me. That's the part that's most important is I've got to influence the game on the defensive line of scrimmage. All right, let's grab Lonnie out in Jackson. What's going on, Lonnie?
Hey, I'm looking at Grady Jarrett have a good year, and I want to see Drake London. I want to really see what we use him. You know, how we use him.
I think that Drake London needs to be a guy that needs to basically double his touchdown production. You know, there's no reason why that especially when we get into the red zone, right? I mean, when we're in the red zone, there's no reason why that Drake London can't double his touchdown production. I think he had 4 last year. There's no reason why he can't double that number this coming season. And again, I keep going over the fact that, hey, look, if we're going to be an elite-level red zone offense, if we're going to be 67% touchdown conversion in the red zone, well, there's going to be some guys who put up big numbers. There's going to be some guys that put up some hefty numbers, touchdowns, yards, receptions, you know, what have you. But, again, there's going to be some guys that put up some good numbers, and we can maybe have multiple guys that have 8 or 10 touchdowns. I don't know. Now, as far as the sack thing goes, you know, as far as Grady goes, look, I think Grady, as we just said, I think he's got some good people around him now. Campbell and Onyemata and Taquan Graham, you know, being back, you know, healthy, you know, this year. I think he's got a cast of players around him now, maybe for the first time in his career. Maybe, realistically, for the first time in his playing career, that he's got some guys that are actual legitimate NFL players playing around him, and maybe that frees Grady up. Maybe that's a thing where he gets himself freed up and he can blow up plays in the backfield like he does, but instead of just blowing up plays with the running back in the backfield, he finds a way to put the quarterback on the ground.
That was my thought about it when I mentioned it earlier, that I thought he would be the one because Onyemata particularly, I think the two of them, if you look at everybody's numbers from last year, they were like the highest sack totals. I think Grady might have been 6 or 6.5, and Onyemata was 5, I believe. So I think Onyemata's presence is going to have a major impact on Grady being able to get loose a little bit more this year.
Yeah, and if Ebikadi can be that guy on the outside, then you're going to free Grady up as well.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to have to chip that guy coming off the edge, and it's going to free up guys. So again, I still think Ebikadi is the key to this defense. I think it's the key to we either get to the quarterback or we don't. I really do, and I think he need. I, look, I think he needs to lead the team in sacks. I think that he needs to lead. I don't want to say that he is going to lead the team, or I wish he would lead. I think he needs to lead the team in sacks. Because, again, we have to establish that guy coming off the edge, that fire breather that we talk about coming off the edge of everything. So, again, we'll see what happens. And, again, I think Kyle Pitts has got to be the guy that, when we talk about red zone production, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. It's been very underwhelming, especially from the touchdown perspective, in his first couple of years. That needs to change. It has to be more Travis Kelce-like. 100 receptions, 12 of them for touchdowns. You know, again, that's where we want to live, right? That's the part where we want to, that environment that we want to live in. But it's got to be him that helps step everything up. And again, I think he did a lot of good things last year. I would have liked to have seen him start more last year. I don't think that only starting one game did him a lot of favors. Yeah, he played a decent percentage of snaps, but he didn't play nearly as many snaps as I would have liked to see. And certainly, you know, again, when he could have started and they had that opportunity as the year was kind of fading away, that's when, you know, remember how we changed quarterbacks? Well, I don't know why we didn't put Ebukadi in at the starting lineup. I don't know why we didn't start him more, but, you know, the one start that he did make, he thought he played well last year. I thought he did a good job, you know, getting in early and creating pressure early and things like that. I don't know that he got a sack out of it, but he did certainly create some pressure and some, you know, things happening on the defense when he made that first start. But I think he just is the key to it. If he's going to be that guy that we can depend on coming off the edge, then we'll be where we need to be, right? Playoffs, whatever, 40 sacks, whatever we need to be in all of that. I have my questions. That's it. So I have my questions about what's going to happen with all of that. So 404-726-0929, you can jump in on the conversation of who leads the Falcons in touchdowns this coming season, who leads the Falcons in sacks. Most touchdowns, most sacks. I'll tell you another guy that, you know, again, Mike Bell brought this up, but Caden Ellis. And I want to see Ellis. Can't say as I watch a lot of Caden Ellis, you know, in the NFL, but I want to see if he is more like the guy that we saw last year, or was he the guy in his first 3 years accumulated one sack? Like, I want to see if he's what guy that he really becomes. Can he thrive in this defense and find a way to get 7 or 10 sacks? Maybe, hopefully. Or does he – was that a, okay, I cashed in? Because, again, he got a pretty fair deal from the Falcons. His deal was better than what was expected for him coming into free agency. So he got paid pretty well. But can he be a guy that influences games on the defensive side of the football the way that some of these other guys do? And 7 sacks is still a good total. I mean, that's not a chump total or anything like that, but when you put it in some context and stuff, I mean, you know, when he only had one sack in a 3-year period, you wonder about, okay, was he motivated by money or this or that? Like, why did all of a sudden it click in his final year? Well, part of that was injuries. Part of that is that guys got hurt on the defensive line from the New Orleans Saints, and he had to play. Wasn't much of an option. He had to play. But, again, when he did play, he took it, you know, to heart. He stepped up his game, and he played really well, and he showed that he wants to be a starter in this league. But, again, I'll say, why did the Saints let him go then? Because, again, the Saints are the masters of creating more money, right? I mean, they're always that one organization that they could be $100 million in, you know, dead cap space and over the cap, and they find a way to get money. They find a way to be able to sign somebody, right? They're always doing that. They've always tiptoed that line of being a team that, you know, is in cap purgatory, but they still find a way to sign everybody. Why did they not want him back? Was it Ryan Nielsen going to Atlanta that was the big deciding factor? I don't know. Again, I haven't talked to Caden Ellis about all this, but it would be interesting to know, you know, what the what the real decision-making process was for him as to why he came to the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll see what happens, but I think our defensive line is going to definitely be better than what it's been in years past. I mean, there's only one direction to go, right? You can only get better. You can only go upward from where we've been over the last handful of years. So I expect this to be better. Are we 40 sacks? You know, are we a 40 sack team? I don't know about all that. I have my doubts. I mean, that's you usually have to have. You don't normally see a team with 40 sacks that has eight guys that have five sacks, right? Like, that's usually not how it works. Usually, if you're 40 or more, somebody's taking up 25% of that total, right? One guy's usually in the 25% realm of accumulating those sacks. So,
Ebba Cady has to be the one that has the highest percentage.
I think that he's. I don't see a guy that just naturally jumps off the page that says this guy could be a 12 sack guy. Besides Ebba Cady, I don't think Lorenzo Carter can be that. I don't even know that Caden Ellis can be that. I don't think Calais Campbell's a double-digit sack guy at this point of his career. I don't see it. I think it's Ebba Cady is the guy. Now, D'Angelo Malone is another guy, but I've heard people telling me that, you know, off the record that, you know, Malone looks a little bit light in the loafers. I mean, he looks a little bit, you know, he's got to get some more in the dumper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's not a guy that's going to be able to probably push people around and such like that. So, and again, we didn't see really much flashes out of Malone
right. Last
year. I mean, at least we saw something out of Ebba Cady. I don't know that we saw a whole lot out of D'Angelo Malone. So I'm cautiously optimistic about D'Angelo Malone. Like, I'm not putting my eggs in that basket just yet until I see something happen with him. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, head to the top of the hour, JR Sports Brief, coming up after us, as we will be here tomorrow with you as well, as the Falcons will be at camp again for practice number 3. So we'll play all the audio and interviews and everything like that for you as to what goes on at camp tomorrow. So everybody will be out there. Morning Shaft, Chuck House, Dandy and Randy. So everybody will be out there for you. So, and then Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. And we will be, I'm looking at the schedule here. They got the Morning Shaft, Chuck House, Dandy and Randy. They're at Falcons training camp. Dukes and Bell are at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. And it must have got white. It must have been white out. They must have whited it out.
No.
Huh?
No, it wasn't whited out.
What do you mean?
No. We're here.
Right. We're at Holman and Finch here at Colony Square.
No.
Huh?
No. No.
Well, I'm sorry. Establishment.
No.
Huh?
Nope.
Roomy?
Mm-mm. It's a roomy place.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Well, maybe that didn't work itself out so well. All right. All right. When you come back, one more segment to go. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, Odyssey.com, man. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, head to the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief coming up after us. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Braves baseball back as well, as they will take on the Milwaukee Brewers. They will be back home here at Truist Park. So that means Friday night, the red uniforms will be out and about, the best uniforms in Major League Baseball. So we will get a chance to see all of them. So, Day-Day, we had my daughter's orientation at Cherokee County High School today. So, first time going to Cherokee High School.
Yeah, I've been up there. It's been a couple of years ago. But
yeah, I mean, I've been at the football stadium, but I mean, yeah. I haven't been inside the school and touring around and everything like that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's I'll tell you this, like my feet are completely worn out.
Because, all that walking and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
They have like these classes are spread out all over the place.
Yep.
And my daughter was even complaining about how much everything was spread out because they do a lot of the freshman stuff in the north building,
right?
Which is a building to the right of the main building and stuff like that. It's like a whole separate campus. It's just so much walking.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time we were done, I had like 6,000 steps in.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
Because, I mean, we're going back and forth and everywhere. And part of it was we were lost. But, I mean, you know, again, still, though, like there was a lot of walking involved.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In there. So, yeah, it's not like roaming the halls of middle school or whatever like that. It's not classes all right bunched up.
Right bunched up, yeah, yeah, little pods and stuff. Yeah, yeah, which that's what my – so two of my sons, theirs is tomorrow. Yeah, my eighth grader and my sixth grader, theirs is tomorrow. So, yeah, we'll be dealing with it. But, like, to your point, like, it's not as much walking because it's a pod. Everything, all the classrooms are pretty much
– Oh, yeah, like they're on one floor.
One area.
She had, like, four of her classes that were all on one floor.
Right.
But she's spread out pretty good, and yeah.
Is she nervous?
Yeah, I mean, there's things going on that's got her nervous and stuff like that. So, I don't know how to describe it, but there is some nervousness there. So, you know, again, it will be interesting. Let's put it that way. You know, again, you know, I've tried to explain to her, like, you know, this is an important time of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you want to set yourself up for your future. Mm-hmm. And, again, not that – so it's a little bit different. You know, I'm 51, right?
Right.
And my generation, whatever that is, I don't even know what we are.
You should be X.
Well, we're not the dopey millennials. Let me put it like that. So we're not dopey millennials. So – but – my generation, you could still earn a living and get a decent job without having to go to college.
Right.
Okay? And I think I am the last generation of people that can get away with no college degree and still earn a decent living. Now, again, you're not going to be necessarily wealthy or whatever. I mean, you're not going to earn tons of money. But, again, you can – unless you're an entrepreneur, unless you're – unless you're a self-made, you know, person. But, you know, again, my generation could, you know, there were enough jobs and people looked at experience and different things like that, and it wasn't so college degree driven.
Right.
Her generation is going to be college degree driven. If you're going to want to get somewhere in life, you're going to have that piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I've tried to implore onto her is, get yourself your mind right now. Get your mind right now about school, because again, she's kind of not taking school sometimes as serious, and I can understand that. But again, she's got to take this serious because this is going to be her future.
Right.
And you know, again, she just can't fake her way through it. You know, she has to, you know, she has to put the work in and put the effort in and stuff like that. And I don't know if she's going to do that. I don't know. I mean, again, I love my daughter and I think the world of her and I want all the best for her and all the success in the world for her, and I'll do anything to help her. But you got to at some point put the work in yourself.
Yeah,
right?
You do. I mean, that's at everything. Yeah, you got to do it yourself at some point. Mommy and daddy can't lead you all the way there. So.
Right. So that's what's going to be interesting about all of it. But I'm not sure if I'm ready for a kid that goes to high school.
Yeah, I remember when our daughter went into high school, it was I remember the same feelings. Like, man, she's going to high school.
Like, yeah. It feels like it's a whole different world from anything. I mean, again, I thought, you know, when she got out of elementary school and it was like, okay, she's going to middle school now. It's a totally separate school, right? But it was literally right next to her elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like literally the building right next door to her elementary school was the middle school. And it didn't feel like it was a drastic change.
Right.
Because half the kids that she's gone to school with are going to go to Woodstock High School because, you know, you can redistrict through Cherokee County. Half the kids that she went to school with are going to Cherokee. Half the kids are going to Woodstock. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. And she's wanting to go to Woodstock.
Because most of her friends are going over
there. Yeah, a lot of her friends and stuff like that. But again, we don't have a way to get her to Woodstock.
Right.
You know, from where we live, and I don't have time to take her to Woodstock. I don't have time to take her to school. I got to work for a living.
Right.
You know, again,
right.
I got to earn a living. I mean, mm-hmm. to pay for all this stuff, right? So again, and my ex-wife is the same way. Like we can't take you to Woodstock every morning, and we don't have a reliable transportation. My father-in-law used to take her to school every day, but he's older. He's got to take care of my ex-wife's mom, and it's just, you know, there's family things that he's got to take care of. He can't afford to drive her to school anymore. Not from a monetary. I'm just saying he doesn't have the time to drive her to school.
Right.
He's got to take care of his wife at home.
Right.
So again, we just don't have those ways to get her to where she wants to go. I mean, I don't have a problem with her going to Woodstock. I just
it's about getting her there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, going back to your statement about the, you know, being ready for the fact that she's going into high school. What I realized later, what it was for me was that what that meant was now I'm about to find out, did I do my job as far as helping you turn into an adult?
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Like, I've thought about that too. I think about, you know, the fact that, okay, have I prepared her enough for, because while she's not an adult, you will start to get into adult scenarios and situations.
And decision-making has to be more hers. It doesn't necessarily, there's going to be decisions that they have to be her decisions and not necessarily yours.
So she's
got
a boyfriend now. Okay?
Oh, wow. Oh,
she's been dating this guy.
Does Randy know that?
Huh?
Randy McMichael know that? Because that's a protector for, you know, y'all's kids are you know, similar in age and everything. So, you know, Randy might put his hands on somebody.
Oh, no, no.
I
don't know if he knows or not. I mean, when we were at Randy's birthday party, I think he knows, but he calls her the pretty girl. That's what he calls my daughter because, again, she's a pretty girl and, you know, again, she's going to be a heartbreaker. But she's got a boyfriend and, you know, her and I have had some – I mean, he's a good kid. He's a real good kid. I mean, he's not some goofball. And she – a while back, she was going down the wrong pathway on some things and she stopped it. And, you know, I was there watching her and I was about to pull her away from some things, but she decided on her own to do it. And I was
that's what you want.
So, you know, again, I told her the other night, you know, I told her that, you know, we had dinner on Tuesday because you know, we were off on Tuesday. And I told her, because she doesn't think she's smart. And I said, proved to me that you're smart because you made the right decision.
Right.
That was the right decision you made getting away from some of those people that were dragging you down and
the wrong way.
Going in the wrong direction. I said, so you were very smart from that standpoint. Yeah. So,
and what she just has to realize that at the end of the day, and this is what, you know, we always had, I just kept telling my daughter, like, if you want any type of success in life, you just got to be smart about your decisions. Point blank, period. You got to make good decisions. Like, and we're not going to always be there to hold your hand through some stuff. So, you know, and that was the conversation going into high school. And as she progressed, you know, freshman year to sophomore, sophomore to junior, it's like, you know, all right, you're getting close to being in the real world. And a prime example is her freshman year in college, because my daughter played softball mm-hmm. through high school and college. Her freshman year, she got, you know, she was at Shaw up in North Carolina. She decided she wanted to come back to Atlanta. And uh-huh. I'm like, listen, I support you wanting to come back to Atlanta. But I did my job. We did our job getting you into college. If you're going to make a transfer, because transferring, like, especially if you don't know if you're going to get a scholarship, it's a lot of work,
right.
Money, all that kind of stuff. I was like, you're going to have to do everything on your own. And then, you know, and she did. She did everything on her own. She was able to get into Clark, get on the softball team. She got a little money out of it. And so, you know, but it was just one of those things. It was like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to, you know, you know, because at that point she was 20, I think 19 right. or 20. And it was like, you're going to have to start, you know, when you're starting to make these type of decisions, you got to start going through the process on your own. And that's
right.
As long as she starts to realize that, like, as she's getting older, like, all right, these decisions I'm making, I have to understand what type of impact they're going to have on me. And it's me that has to deal with it. Like, you're not, if she if she makes a bad decision, doesn't impact you. It's only going to impact her, you know.
Yeah, so. No, I I've explained that to her. Just, you know, she, like I said, she was going down some roads that were going to really have some negative effect and results yeah. on her. And I was like, you got to be smarter about this. And,
yeah.
And she understood, and then she figured it out.
She's gonna be straight, mm-hmm. man. I mean, I only met her briefly at the anniversary party, and you know, you could tell she's a good kid. I think they just, I mean, we were there, John. Like, we had our moments. We were all there. It's just, you
yeah,
know,
but,
you
but
you,
I, you. Yeah, but see, I, again, I mean, I know we got to go. I don't want her to be me. Like,
well, you
I
never
don't,
did.
I don't,
yeah.
I don't want her. I blew a lot of chances, and I you know, again, I know we're about to, you know, I pissed away a lot of, and I yeah. know there's a dump there, but I mean, I didn't take advantage
yeah.
of some of the opportunities
yeah.
that I had,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got good grades in high. I was a 2-year National Honor Society student.
Nice.
I mean, I was almost a 3.89 or something like that
mm-hmm.
student. I mean, I got really good grades and did well on testing and stuff. And I took all advanced placement, classes and stuff in high school.
Right.
Again, I whizzed a lot of that stuff away. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we'll get more into this, you know, here as things start up on Tuesday for school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right, Love TK up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, and that's in the game, the Odyssey.com app.
But long as I got you by my side.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, head to the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief coming up after us. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Braves baseball back as well, as they will take on the Milwaukee Brewers. They will be back home here at Truist Park. So that means Friday night, the red uniforms will be out and about, the best uniforms in Major League Baseball. So we will get a chance to see all of them. So, Day-Day, we had my daughter's orientation at Cherokee County High School today. So, first time going to Cherokee High School.
Yeah, I've been up there. It's been a couple of years ago. But
yeah, I mean, I've been at the football stadium, but I mean, yeah. I haven't been inside the school and touring around and everything like that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's I'll tell you this. Like, my feet are completely worn out.
Because, all that walking and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
They have, like, these classes are spread out all over the place.
Yep.
And my daughter was even complaining about how much everything was spread out. Because they do a lot of the freshman stuff in the north building.
Right.
Which is a building to the right of the main building and stuff like that. It's like a whole separate campus. It's just so much walking.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time we were done, I had like 6,000 steps in.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
Because, I mean, we're going back and forth and everywhere. And part of it was we were lost. But, I mean, you know, again, still, though, like there was a lot of walking involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In there. So, yeah, it's not like roaming the halls of middle school or whatever like that. It's not classes all right bunched up.
Right bunched up, yeah, little pods and stuff. Yeah, that's what my so two of my sons, theirs is tomorrow. My eighth grader and my sixth grader, theirs is tomorrow. So we'll be dealing with it. But like to your point, like it's not as much walking because it's a pod. All the classrooms are pretty much.
Oh yeah, like they're all on one floor.
Area.
She had like four of her classes that were all on one floor.
Right.
But she's spread out pretty good. And,
is she nervous?
Yeah. I mean, there's things going on that's got her nervous and stuff like that. So, I don't know how to describe it, but there is some nervousness there. So, you know, again, she's, It will be interesting. Let's put it that way. You know, again, you know, I've tried to explain to her, like, you know, this is an important time of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you want to set yourself up for your future, mm-hmm. and again, not that. So it's a little bit different. You know, I'm 51, right?
Right.
And my generation, whatever that is, I don't even know what we are.
You should be X.
Well, we're not the dopey millennials. Let me put it like that. So we're not dopey millennials. So, but my generation, you could still earn a living and get a decent job without having to go to college.
Right.
Okay. And I think I am the last generation of people that can get away with no college degree mm-hmm. and still earn a decent living. Now, again, right. you're not going to be necessarily wealthy or whatever. I mean, you're not going to earn tons of money, but again, you can, and unless you're an entrepreneur, unless you're a self-made, you know, person. But, you know, again, my generation could, you know, there were enough jobs and people looked at experience and different things like that, mm-hmm. and it wasn't so college degree driven.
Right.
Her generation is going to be college degree driven. If you're going to want to get somewhere in life, you're going to have that piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I've tried to implore onto her is get yourself your mind right now. Get your mind right now about school. Because, again, she's kind of not taking school sometimes as serious. And I can understand that. But again, she's got to take this serious because this is going to be her future.
Right.
And, you know, again, she just can't fake her way through it. You know, she
– right.
She has to, you know, she has to put the work in and put the effort in and stuff like that. And I don't know if she's going to do that. I don't know. I mean, again, I love my daughter and I think the world of her and I want all the best for her and all the success in the world for her. And I'll do anything to help her. But you got to at some point put the work in yourself.
Yeah,
right?
You do. I mean, that's at everything. Yeah, you got to do it yourself at some point. Mommy and daddy can't lead you all the way there. So.
Right, right, right. So that's what's going to be interesting about all of it. But I'm not sure if I'm ready for a kid that goes to high school.
Yeah, I remember when our daughter went into high school. It was, I remember the same feelings. Like, man, she's going to high school.
Like, yeah. It feels like it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
From anything. I mean, again, I thought, you know, when she got out of elementary school, and it was like, okay, she's going to middle school now. It's a totally separate school, right? But it was literally right next to her elementary school. Like, mm-hmm. literally, the building right next door to her elementary school
right.
was the middle school. And it wasn't it didn't feel like it was a drastic change.
Right.
Because half the kids that she's gone to school with are going to go to Woodstock High School. Because, you know, you can redistrict through Cherokee County. Half the kids that she went to school with are going to Cherokee. Half the kids are going to Woodstock. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. And she's wanting to go to Woodstock.
Because most of her friends are going over
there.
Yeah,
a lot of her friends and stuff like that. But again, we don't have a way to get her to Woodstock.
Right.
You know, from where we live, and I don't have time to take her to Woodstock. I don't have time to take her to school. I got to work for a living.
Right.
You know, again, I got to earn a living. I mean, mm-hmm. to pay for all this stuff, right? So again, and my ex-wife is the same way. Like, we can't take you to Woodstock every morning. And
right.
we don't have a reliable transportation. My father-in-law used to take her to school every day, but he's older. He's got to take care of my ex-wife's mom, and mm-hmm. It's just, you know, there's family things that he's got to take care of. He can't afford to drive her to school anymore. Not from a monetary. I'm just saying he doesn't have the time to drive her to school.
Right.
He's got to take care of his wife at home.
Right.
So again, we just don't have those ways to get her to mm-hmm. where she wants to go. I mean, I don't have a problem with her going to Woodstock. I just...
It's about getting her there.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, going back to your statement about the, you know, being ready for the fact that she's going into high school, what I realized later was that what that meant was now I'm about to find out, did I do my job as far as helping you turn into an adult.
I
you know what I'm saying?
I agree. Like, I've thought about that too. I think about, you know, the fact that, okay, have I prepared her enough for, because while she's not an adult, you will start to get into adult scenarios and situations.
And decision making has to be more hers. It doesn't there's going to be decisions that she they have to be her decisions and not necessarily yours.
So she's
yours.
Got a boyfriend now. Okay?
Oh, wow. Oh,
she's been dating this guy.
Does Randy know that?
Huh?
Does Randy McMichael Randy McMichael know that? Because I know he likes to, that's a protector for y'all's kids are similar in age and everything. So, Randy might put his hands on somebody.
Oh, no. I don't know if he knows or not. I mean, when we were at Randy's birthday party, I think he knows, but he calls her the pretty girl. That's what he calls my daughter because, again, she's a pretty girl and, again, she's going to be a heartbreaker. But she's got a boyfriend and, her and I have had some – I mean, he's a good kid. He's a real good kid. I mean, he's not some goofball. And she – a while back, she was going down the wrong pathway on some things.
Mm.
And she stopped it. And, I was there watching her,
mm-hmm.
and I was about to pull her away from some things, but she decided on her own to do it. And I was
what you wanted. Yeah.
So, again, that was, and I told her, I told her the other night, I told her that, we had dinner on Tuesday, because mm-hmm. We were off on Tuesday. And I told her, because she doesn't think she's smart. And I said, you proved to me that you're smart because you made the right decision.
Right.
That was the right decision you made getting away from some of those people mm-hmm. that were dragging you down and
the wrong way.
Going in the wrong direction. I said, so you were very smart from that standpoint. Yeah. So,
and what she just has to realize that at the end of the day, and this is what, we always had, I just kept telling my daughter, if you want any type of success in life, you just got to be smart about your decisions, point blank, period. You got to make good decisions. And we're not going to always be there to hold your hand through some stuff. So, and that was the conversation going into high school. And as she progressed, freshman year to sophomore to junior, it's like, all right, you're getting close to being in the real world. And a prime example is her freshman year in college, because my daughter played softball mm-hmm. through high school and college. Her freshman year, she got, she was at Shaw up in North Carolina. She decided she wanted to come back to Atlanta. And uh-huh. I'm like, listen, I support you wanting to come back to Atlanta. But I did my job. We did our job getting you into college. If you're going to make a transfer, because transferring, especially if you don't know if you're going to get a scholarship, it's a lot of work, money, all that kind of stuff. I was like, you're going to have to do everything on your own. And then, and she did. She did everything on her own. She was able to get into Clark, get on the softball team. She got a little money out of it. And so, but it was just one of those things. It was like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to, because at that point she was 20, I think 19 or 20. And it was like, you're going to have to start, when you're starting to make these type of decisions, you got to start going through the process on your own. And that's
right.
As long as she starts to realize that, as she's getting older, all right, these decisions I'm making, I have to understand what type of impact they're going to have on me. And it's me that has to deal with it. If she makes a bad decision, doesn't impact you. It's only going to impact her.
I've explained that to her. She was going down some roads that were going to really have some negative effect and results on her. And I was like, you got to be smarter about this. And she understood. And then she figured it out.
She's gonna be straight, mm-hmm. man. I mean, I only met her briefly at the anniversary party, and you could tell she's a good kid. I think they just, I mean, we were there, John. Like, we had our moments. We were all there. It's just,
I know we got to go. I don't want her to be me. I blew a lot of chances, and I know we're about to, I pissed away a lot of, and I know there's a dump there, but I mean, I didn't take advantage of some of the opportunities that I had. you know, and I got good grades in high school. I was a 2-year National Honor Society student. Nice. I mean, I was almost a 3.89 or something like that student. I mean, I got really good grades and did well on testing and stuff. And I took all advanced placement classes and stuff in high school.
Right.
Again, I whizzed a lot of that stuff away. So, yeah. We'll get more into this, you know, here as things start up on Tuesday for school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right, Love TK up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, Nets in the Game, the Odyssey.com app.
But long as I got you by my side.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.